Well, this is State Representative Tony Kurtz. I have taken over the wonderful WRJC 92.1 FM radio station. Murph's on vacation, and I'm joined by a wonderful individual that I've got to know over the last, it's been a decade now, Senator Testin. Pat Testin represents the 24th Senate District. Pat got elected to the Senate in 2016. Is that right, Pat?
That's right.
Well, Pat, why don't you tell our listeners a little bit about yourself?
Well, first of all, thanks for having me, Tony. And I knew bingo card, a radio guest show host, wasn't on it. So I really appreciate the opportunity. And so for the listeners out there, this is my maiden voyage on this station, as I, under the new maps, have picked up a good swath of Juneau County. And prior to being in the legislature, I was born and raised in Wisconsin, grew up in Marinette, right on the Wisconsin-UP border. Went to school at the University of Wisconsin, Stevens Point, and that's really where I got my involvement in politics, and worked a sales job after college, and worked on a number of different campaigns, and then tried my hand up the state senate in 2016, and won a seat in a race that I was told by a lot of people I couldn't win. But we spent 11 months going out wearing out the shoe leather and making the case to voters, and I've had the privilege to serve ever since. And it's a great job. And the new 24th Senate District, I live up in the Stevens Point area, comprises portions of Portage County, a good portion of Southern Wood County, so Wisconsin Rapids and South, a lot of Adams County, now the northern half of Juneau County, Eastern Monroe County, so the city of Tomah and Warrens, and then all of Jackson County.
You know, one thing, it's interesting, just for our wonderful listeners, you know, I got elected in 2018, so you were in your second year when I joined you in the Senate, I'm in the Assembly. You know, it's as a representative or even as a state senator, there's certain people you gravitate to. You go, boy, you know, that person has an agricultural background. That person has a health background. And you and I over the years, just like with Senator Mark Lyon and I, Senator Baldwin, we've worked on quite a few bills together over the years. And I know one that I'm particularly proud of that the governor just signed was a Marquette Rural Dentistry Program. And so why don't you just tell our listeners a little bit about that?
So this is a really great bill. And so the last two sessions, I had the privilege to serve as the chair of the Senate Health Committee. This session, I'm the vice chair and also serve on the Joint Finance Committee along with Representative Kurtz and Senator Mark Lyon and Senator Baldwin. And we came up with this bill primarily because we have such a huge shortage of dentists in our underserved areas. In fact, many of the counties we represent, whether it's Juneau, Jackson, Adams, Monroe, even Woodham Portage, are considered dental deserts. And it's not that we have a lack of dentists in the state, it's where they're located. And being that the Marquette School of Dentistry is the only dentistry school in the state of Wisconsin, it's always been sort of treated as a state institution in that regard. And so Representative Kurtz and I worked on legislation in the last couple budgets to create a rural scholarship program for these dentistry students to go practice in underserved areas where they can receive a sizable grant. But then for every year they're enrolled in the program, they have to spend 18 months in the underserved areas. And the whole point is to show that, one, we can provide this financial incentive, and second, to show that you can have a really successful career in places like Central and Western Wisconsin. A prime example is Dr. Miller, who recently retired from Deer Creek Dental over in Tomah. He was a Marquette School of Dentistry graduate. Never dreamed he'd end up in Tomah. I always thought he'd end up in Milwaukee or Madison, and yet had a very successful practicing career that he just recently retired from. And so really trying to increase access in the most underserved areas of our state.
You know, it's interesting when you talk about the Marquette. A lot of people, you know, don't realize some of the things that we do get into the budget that doesn't make big headlines. But to your point, to help the Marquette Dentistry School, this last budget, we put in, I believe it was around $10 million to help expand their offerings so they can expand their dental program. And that's something that a lot of people don't realize is we are trying to address these. Also, something that we did this last session was dental therapist. Dental therapist is, you know, it's kind of a step down below dentist. And it's something that Minnesota does that's actually doing quite well. And I know, Pat, you were very instrumental in getting that across the finish line as well.
Yeah, this is another prime example of doing what we can to create a talent pipeline for healthcare professionals. And again, it's a step down from a dentist, a step above a hygienist, and it allows them to, you know, fill a gap that currently exists. And more importantly, it allows dentists to focus on those issues that are at the highest level of their scope of practice. And so this was one that was years in the making. It took, I think, 3 or 4 sessions before it finally got the momentum needed and got even, previous stakeholders who had concerns about it on board. And, you know, to your point, Tony, it's not always as simple as, you know, waving a magic wand and poof, all of our problems go away. This is really about taking incremental approaches and multifaceted approaches to address some of the main challenges that we face here in the state on whether it's healthcare access or dealing with clean groundwater, helping our farmers out through producer-led watershed programs and the farmland preservation tax credit bill that was just signed into law. It's all these many pieces that help formulate a much bigger picture as to why we do what we do. And it's ultimately to make sure that this is the best state to live, work, and raise a family.
You know, one thing, since you did talk about the agricultural piece, and we'll talk about this issue and we'll take a break so Murph can pay some bills. But the Farm Bureau Health Plan, something that you and I both, I was the lead author in the Assembly, you in the Senate, basically just giving our agricultural community, our farmers, a little bit of option to help with healthcare costs.
I really hope this is a bill that we can revisit next session. So this is similar to what's done in other states. In fact, Tennessee and several other states have really been very successful in this. And the problem that a lot of farmers run into is that while on paper they may seem very wealthy, we often know that's not the case and margins are tight. So a lot of these farmers, they don't qualify for any of the healthcare options on the affordable exchanges. And so this legislation was aimed to allow Farm Bureau to provide basically healthcare coverage for their members. And it's not to replace your traditional insurance companies, but not by any means, but to provide a supplement for these individuals. And while it was a relatively new concept for Wisconsin, it's been around in many states for decades now and been very successful. And so my hope is that provided you and I get the opportunity to come back, we can hopefully reintroduce this and start this conversation early on next session, and hopefully we can get this one across the finish line, because to me it just makes common sense.
Well, to your point, you know, Tennessee's been doing this for over 30 years. Iowa now, I believe, is in their fifth year, and what we're finding, and what you alluded to, Pat, was the fact that there's a lot of, particularly farm families, that's kind of falling into that middle ground where they make too much, but yet, if they do try to afford it on their own, the premiums are just astronomical also with the deductibles. So to allow Farm Bureau to have a farm plan for farmers, very similar, like you said, with Tennessee, to me is something that can really help farmers to make that farm couple, because a lot of couples, you'll have one couple working off the farm. And when you ask them why they do that, the vast majority of them say, well, we need the health coverage. And you got to commend them for that. But if there's a way that Farm Bureau or some other avenue that we can help them get affordable health care, I think that's something that I know you and I are going to definitely work on next session. So we're going to take a break and we will come right back with Senator Pat Testin. And once again, this is State Representative Tony Kurtz. I took over the radio station on Now 92.1 FM. Well, this is State Representative Tony Kurtz on WRJC 92.1 FM, and I'm back with you since Murph is taking a much-deserved vacation. At least that's what he's told everybody. But I've got Senator Pat Testin. We had a good discussion on some of the bills that you and I have worked on on this last session. And I know you have a passion for healthcare, Pat, and I know you believe strongly that we need strong healthcare presence in our rural communities, and I know you've worked very diligently on that in your time in the Senate. Being on the Senate Health Committee, what are some things that you are going to continue to work on moving forward?
Well, I'm going to continue to work on the APRN Modernization Act. This is for our advanced practice registered nurses, which have seen a huge increase since 2018, roughly an increase of 30 to 35% of advanced practice nurses. And these are individuals such as our nurse midwives, our nurse anesthetists, and many others who have advanced training. And unfortunately, Wisconsin is one of those handful of states that limits their ability to practice at the highest level of their license. And I think one of the main reasons why I'm so passionate about this is that if there is one silver lining from the pandemic, is that there were a number of executive actions taken that rolled back some of these restrictions and actually empowered these providers to go out and do the jobs they're trained to do, which is take care of patients. Now, unfortunately, as you're well aware, but maybe others aren't, is that last session, the governor vetoed that bill. This time around, I was actually a little bit more encouraged because the governor had proposed a similar version of the APRN bill in his proposed budget. And, you know, we moved closer to the governor's position. Obviously, there's still a lot of stakeholders who have issued concerns, primarily some of the doctor groups. And as you might be well aware, there are oftentimes these things don't really boil down necessarily about the merits of this being good policy or not, but oftentimes it's a turf war. And so my hope is that we can get this across the finish line, that when it gets sent to the governor, he signs it rather than vetoes it. Because as I had a conversation with the governor just over a week ago now, I asked the governor, I don't know why you would veto this bill when everything else that you've done this session that we've sent you that increases access to healthcare, whether it's the creation of dental therapists, the likelihood he's going to sign the international physicians bill that would allow physicians from other countries to practice here in the state, and then along with making it easier for the medical licensure compacts that have passed, allowing providers to cross state lines and not have to go through so much red tape. So I really hope we can get this done. It's long overdue. Last session was the first session that I had authored it, and it was the first time in nearly a decade that it made it out of both houses of the legislature. And now we just have one roadblock that we have to overcome, and I'm hopeful that the governor will sign this bill. And if people want to learn more about it, we did create a website called qualifiedtoheal.com where people can learn about the bill, what it does here, testimonies from various APRNs around the state, and they can also sign a petition encouraging the governor to sign the legislation once it hits his desk.
You know, to your point and to our wonderful listeners, it's hard to believe, but it does take multiple sessions to get things done, unfortunately. Like the rural dentistry bill that we talked about, that's something you and I introduced my first session in January of 2019, and it took three sessions to get that across the finish line. To your point about the APRN bill, the Modernization Act, that, once again, my first session, that was introduced. It was kind of stalled. And to your point, it's not only interest groups that get involved, but it's also, unfortunately, personalities can also get involved in getting good pieces of legislation across the finish line. And one thing, I guess I'll just be very blunt on what frustrates me is, we have a tremendous healthcare workforce issue in our state and across the board. I mean, we're short. I mean, you name the position, we're short. But what worries me, and I've said this before, is there is enough room for qualified APRNs out there. Same thing with docs. And we need them all to work at the highest level of the scope of their practice because we need them. Our rural communities particularly need them as we're competing with the Madisons and the Milwaukees in the world. So I surely hope the governor passes this. I mean, it's something that makes sense. It's something that's been invented. It's something that a lot of people have worked hard on, like yourself. And it just makes too much sense for a workforce issue moving forward.
Well, not only that, what really infuriates me is, so back about 20 years ago, collaborative agreements were created. So this is a relationship between a physician and an advanced practice nurse where essentially an APRN basically has to pay a doctor, literally pay in cash or check to a doctor, basically a permission slip to do their job. And in many cases, oftentimes these APRNs and their collaborative physician and agreements that they have, they might not even know this physician personally, or they may be hundreds of miles away. And so that, to me, I don't know any other profession where there's that type of relationship established. And so I think, to me, that's just one area in particular and a highlight that just frustrates me in this process. But, you know, I get it. Everyone wants their piece of the pie. But at the same time, when we do have a huge healthcare workforce shortage, we need to be doing what we can to prepare ourselves with the aging demographics here in the state and try and be on the front end of this rather than be reactive, because as you well know, that just makes problems a heck of a lot worse.
Yeah. The longer you wait, it takes that much more to fix it, unfortunately. We've seen this. When you delay, it takes that much more to fix that. Now, we only have a little bit of time left. I just really appreciate you joining me, Senator Teston. We're going to take a break, and we will come right back with Senator Pat Teston. And once again, this is State Representative Tony Kurtz. I took over the radio station on Now 92.1 FM. As we move into, obviously, the next session, the state, financially, we're doing very well. A lot of people may not realize we have a $3 billion surplus. We have a rainy day fund that's about $1.8 billion that actually earns about $7.5 million every month in interest. So financially, we're doing very well. We're living within our means. We're making key investments. What's some of the things that you want to revisit moving into next session?
Well, I think we really have to revisit tax reform. Now, obviously, you know, we tried our darndest in the budget, providing significant tax relief for every single tax filer here in the state, trying to simplify our tax code from going from four brackets down to three. And unfortunately, the governor vetoed 95% of that. And then we tried again twice. And both times, income tax relief was vetoed, which is unfortunate, because as we're out in our respective communities, I mean, we hear it directly from people firsthand that inflation's a real deal, and it is putting a tremendous bind and pinch on families' budgets. And contrary, when you take a look at the census data from 2020, you take a look at the states that saw the largest increase of people moving into them. There are states like Florida, Texas, Tennessee, South Dakota, and contrast that to states that saw the largest outmigration: New York, Illinois, California. And, you know, people can go to a ballot box and elect their representatives at every level of government, but the most consequential vote someone will make is with their feet, because people know and go to places where their dollar goes further than where they may live currently. And so I think if Wisconsin wants to be competitive, if we want to get ahead of the workforce shortage, if we want to get ahead of the demographic challenges that we're facing, we have to make Wisconsin more attractive and more competitive to live and do business in. And if Illinois, of all places, can have a flat tax, I have no idea why Wisconsin can't. I mean, think about this. I can't believe I'm even saying this right now, Tony. Illinois gets it right when it comes to having a flat tax, and yet, you know, we're still having these battles in the back and forth with the Evers administration on what to do with the surplus. And I think, as we have already stated multiple times and voted, we want to give it back to the people.
You know, one thing, obviously, this past week, most people realize we sent the governor four different tax packages. They were very simple bills. There were no little getcha poison pills in them. They were very simple. One, he did sign the child care tax credit to expand that. The one that, obviously, the second bracket and the marriage couple one, but the one that really probably bothered me the most was the exemption for those over the age of 65, exempting up to $75,000 of their, you know, their retirement income. So if you had somebody that's retired from a company and, you know, like Brunner's or somewhere like that, that's a large manufacturer. They retired from a retired school teacher, so their WRS, you know, the first $75,000 of that retirement would have been tax exempt. And, you know, to your point about the inflationary pressures, to me, someone over the age of 65, the vast majority of them are on fixed incomes. Their fixed income has not kept pace with inflation. And so providing them some type of tax exemption, to me, was an easy thing to do. And I guess what's disappointing, and I'll be very honest, you know, I try to play devil's advocate sometime, is the governor talked about actually supporting and wanting to do a tax cut for those retirees, and then he turns around and vetoes it. It was just very disappointing that we couldn't have got that at least across the finish line.
I completely agree, and I think it was a missed opportunity and, quite frankly, a political blunder from the governor's standpoint, is that, you know, we hear these stories, yep, over and over, and they're not anecdotal. I mean, you talk you know, individuals who are near retirement age, and, you know, you ask them what their plans are, and oftentimes they'll be upfront and say, we're moving south, we're going to Florida, or we're going to other states that don't tax our retirement income. And you can't fault them for that at all. Again, it's voting with your feet, going to places where you know your dollar's going to stretch further, that your life's work is going to extend and last longer than it would in places like Wisconsin where we do tax retirement income. So, you know, my hope is regardless of what happens in November, and provided, you know, you and I get to come back, I hope we get to revisit some of these topics that didn't get across the finish line, and again, make the strong case that this is in the best interest of the state, and trying to provide significant tax relief is always in the best interest, because as history has shown us over and over again, that since 2011, the legislature has cut over $30 billion in taxes. And every time that we have cut taxes, we've seen an increase in revenues, because you are empowering consumers to make the choices that are best for them as opposed to the government. And I think that's ultimately a key philosophical difference that we share with the current administration, but hopefully we can make a strong case next session.
Yeah, and I completely agree with you. You know, it's interesting, though. The governor has signed tax cuts. That's the thing. People don't realize he has signed tax cuts. So he's done it before in the past. It's I hope in the future, if we have that opportunity, that we revisit particularly the retiree exemption. I think that just makes too much sense, particularly for our area, because, as you know, we got an aging population. They're on fixed incomes, and they could use any help they can get. So, Senator Teston, Pat, always a pleasure talking with you. I appreciate you being on our wonderful WRJC, now 92.1 FM, and I just hope you have a wonderful spring and summer.
Well, thanks for having me, Tony, and I'm looking forward to traveling the new parts of the district.
Yep. We'll see you soon. Thanks, Pat. State Representative Tony Kurtz, and I just want to say it's been a pleasure taking over the radio station. I hope Murph and his family are having a wonderful vacation. I'm very sincere when I say this. Murph does a tremendous service to our community, does a lot of public service announcements, a lot of interviews that, to be frank with you, he doesn't get anything for that. He just does that out of the goodness of his heart, to give back to the community. And I just want to thank Murph and all his folks out here very much for that, because it is a tremendous service. I also want to thank the Mauston Area Ambulance Service for coming out and telling a little bit about all the great things that they're doing, some of the struggles they have. I think it's very important that we as listeners understand what they do and the value they provide. And you heard, they're short. They're going to be hiring 6 people here in the future. So if you are looking for a career in giving back to the community, that would be a wonderful thing to start your EMS career and move up to be a paramedic one day if that's something you so desire, because there's definitely training and funding out there to help you do that, and a need in our community. I also want to thank Governor Thompson, Tommy Thompson, something that over the years I've got to know him. It's amazing the leadership that he has, not only as governor, but also since he has left being governor. He truly is a statesman. He's well respected across party lines, and just the number of things that he's accomplished, obviously in the public eye, but so many things that he will never want people to know of, all the generosity that he has done, not only in our area, but also the state. And so I want to thank him for being on. And then last but not least, my good friend, Senator Pat Teston. Like I mentioned with the interview with Pat, you know, there's certain people you gravitate to that you like working on certain issues, be agricultural, be veterans, be healthcare issues. Pat is one of those people that I enjoy working with. He's common sense. He's willing to work across the aisle. And I want to thank for his opportunity. And once again, I want to thank all the listeners. Thanks for putting up with me. I think we pushed all the right buttons, and I don't think we had any downtime on the air. But thank you. Thanks for listening, and I hope you learned a little bit about what's going on in our beautiful area and our beautiful state. And I hope you have a great spring. Hopefully we'll get some rain, much needed rain, and have a great agriculture and a great spring and summer for our beautiful area. So thank you. Once again, State Representative Tony Kurtz, just enjoyed being on 92.1 FM.